Penny Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Petty Arcade. I am me. I'm Mo. And this is the arcade, the theater of the mind, which is good enough for me. And I hope it's good enough for you. Hey, how are ya? Today is February the 18th of 2026. And isn't that amazing how fast the year is going by? Before you know it, it'll be August, September, October, November. And so let's take each day as it comes and enjoy it. Embrace it. Give it a big kiss on the lips. Mwah! Isn't that nice? Well, sometimes. Some days have bad breath. I will admit that. How are you doing? It's good to see ya. And good to be with you. And today is going to be an interesting thing, I think. Hey, welcome to the show. Those of you listening, welcome. Those of you watching on YouTube, welcome. We have in the chat room, Lisa's already in there. She came in while the clock was still ticking. And Pamela's in there, and Audra's in there. How y'all doing? Let's see, remember to guard your privacy and abide by our community guide. Oh, that's YouTube saying that. That's no one saying that. I read the thing that they put up. That's true. Guide your privacy. Guard your privacy, not guide your privacy. Although, you can do that. Whatever you want to do, do. Oh, it's a strange world. Isn't it a strange world? The Olympics are going on. We like to watch curling in this house. That's right. We watch curling. And that's a lot of fun. You know, they scream at each other the whole time. They certainly do scream a lot. And I've noticed that it's interesting because if it's in a language you can't understand, it's really something, you know. I mean, I'm not making fun. It's just that's what it sounds like. My wife just heard an expletive on the. Hello, Renee. How are you? You know, today had bad breath. You know, it did for me too. It was a kind of a rough day. Yeah, it started out kind of rough, and so maybe it's just the way things are going. It's the effect of that eclipse over Antarctica. Man, I saw a picture of that, and I just went, wow, that was really quite a picture. The solar eclipse over Antarctica. What a day it was. It was Mardi Gras. It was the beginning of Ramadan, and it was the Tet, the new year, the lunar new year. The year of the fire horse. I'm a wood horse, so gotta watch out. There may be Trojans in me. I don't want to. No. Jesus. I need to think before I speak, don't I? I really do. No, there's no Trojans in me. just stupid. I can be so stupid. Oh, goodness gracious. Wooden horses. Yeah, all right. There's an old story there. So, I hope you're all doing well. God almighty. Oh, Lord. I need to maybe edit that out in the rerun. Oh. A I'll get my composure here in just a second. Oh my goodness, that was stupid of me. Anyway, wood eats fire, or fire eats wood in Chinese philosophy. So that's why I'm laughing. Yeah, that's it. All right, so I hope you're all doing well. We have to laugh at ourselves, or we take ourselves much too seriously. And there's just no... I'm glad you needed it, Pamela, because I don't think I did. Oh, man. Pardon me. Oh, my goodness. What in the world? back to business. So, today's show is about conjectural tarot, and actually it could be about conjectural any type of divination, but specifically tarot, because it's a good example on how to do this. But before we get into that, I'll give you an example of this, but using the I Ching. So, okay, so here's the story. Suddenly, for no reason that I can figure out at all, and I mean at all, on Facebook, the mighty Facebook, I started getting, and I like to, you know, look at it. It's a fascinating exercise in randomness, and of course, none of it is really random. It's algorithms, and I started getting ads about clarinets. Now, I used to play the clarinet back in high school and junior high school. 6 years I played the clarinet. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. I was in band. I was the pep band leader in my senior year. And that was a consolation prize for something that I'll talk about it someday. I'm not sure if I will or not. It'll sound like a spoiled... What is that? Spoiled grapes, rotten grapes, sour grapes. That's, English, you know. What is this? The idioms, yeah. But anyway, so I have fun. I had a lot of fun. I was in concert band and I was in stage band. I conned my way into that and I had a good time. Loved it. Marching band, you know. 1, 2, 3, kick, you know. Laughed a lot in marching band, as a matter of fact. Went to all the football games, and in, as pep band leader, we went to all the basketball games and all the pep assemblies. Yes, where I irritated beyond comprehension the cheerleaders and the flag girls and so on. It's pom pom girls, you know. Yes, I did. Oh, I made them mad. Oh, did I make them mad? Anyway, so I started getting these commercials for clarinets and clarinet mouthpieces and ligatures. And I'm like, what is going on here? You know, what is this business? And over the years, I've thought about, maybe I should get out the old clarinet. Now, it's been 53 years since I've looked at it. That's not true. I opened it up once and went, you know, because it's old. It's an old, and it was a gift from my parents. Hi, Anne. How are you? You're cooking dinner. Oh, it is late there, isn't it? Yes, it is. Well, bon appetit. I hope I don't ruin your dinner. If you'd been here a little earlier, I might have ruined it. But I'm glad. I don't know. Maybe not. Thank you for listening. So it's old. I mean, you know, kind of the pads go bad after a while. You have to replace them and this and that. And I thought, well, what is going on with these clarinet things coming at me? This is like out of the blue. I didn't do anything. I didn't look it up online. And an old friend of mine got in touch. And she was first chair clarinet. I was right next to her, you know. right next door, and second chair, and then someone challenged me, and I said, okay, you know, I really didn't practice much, and so I thought, what is going on here? What is happening? And she called me, and we talked about clarinetting, and she said, do you play? I said, no, and she said, well, if you did, you know, and really worked on your embouchure, and I said, oh, God. You know, we could do duets and so on, because she still plays, and she's good enough that she could play in an orchestra if she wanted to. And I thought, what's happening? And so all of this went on, and I got to thinking, maybe I would like to. I mean, I play all these other weird instruments. Pardon me. I play all sorts of things, didgeridoos and ukuleles, which is back there, which I love the uke, and you know, nays and eyes, and no, that's a joke, eye and nay, you get it. But I thought, well, what's happening here? What is? And one morning, and I mean middle of the night, I was awakened by the sound of clarinets in my head, but especially the way I used to play. I was supposed to be practicing Shostakovich, you know, and instead of practicing Shostakovich, I'd be playing just whatever I wanted to play, you know, which would be like Barrel House Blues or Dixieland or, you know, just stuff I'd make up or big band riffs or something. And I'd, you know, the stuff you'd hear in a back alleyway in the late 30s, you know, just, you know, and I heard that for like an hour in my head, couldn't go back to sleep. And at the end of that, I thought, okay, I need to at least look at this antique. 53 years or so. So I went down in the basement, and I know right where it is, and I got it, and I opened it up and went, oh my God, look at this. My parents gave it to me as a present. The other one was just a mess. So they said, we got to get this kid something a little bit better. It's kind of embarrassing. And you know, they're black because they stain them black. And this, the stain had faded completely. It's this beautiful brown color. But the pads don't, and it's, you know, the keys are tarnished and there's some corrosion. And I looked at this thing and I said, wow, I wonder if I can even play this thing anymore. I know I can't read the music. I'd have to brush up on that. And I don't think I'd want to read music anyway. And I thought, what am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with this? I looked up what it costs to refurbish a clarinet. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's a really expensive one or not. This is probably a student model. It's like $1,200 to $1,500. And I thought, well, that leaves me out, you know. I mean, I'm not even a 100-er. You know, leave us talk about 1,000-er or millionaire. So I said, well, and there, YouTube is covered with things. You have to, and I checked out one thing, and that is it airtight? Are the pads still usable? And they are. So I thought, well, you know, maybe I could just shine up the pads and try it out. I haven't done it yet. So last night, this is what comes in here. Last night, I got out the old dragon beads here, right here, and I asked the I Ching, and I said, tell me about this. What if I decide to take on, and I'm not telling, I'm just saying, where did all this clarinetting come from? And I was okay. I wasn't great. I didn't practice much at all, ever. And I just wasn't much of a, you know, because I was doing other things my senior year, you know, other things with breath control, if you catch my drift. So it was there's a long story why things changed, you know. Oh, let's see. Lisa says, I bought a new ukulele. I used to play it well as a kid, but now I can't. I know how that is. I played my uke got me through college. Man, because when I was stressed, I played that uke. And I had about 100 songs I could play and just annoy everybody around me if I wanted to. But I was good. And I used to sing and whistle, and now it's like, my dog has fleas, but actually my dog does not have fleas because I take care of my dog. I do. I take better care of my dog than I do myself. But I do take care of myself, because otherwise how can I take care of my dog? You see, that's the Six of Cups. Isn't it? Yes, it is. So I asked the I Ching. Now, this is what oracles can be. I love this. I love this. Keep working, by the way, Lisa. It'll come back. It'll come back. I've been working on the ney, which is an end-blown flute. This is a koala, one that I made myself out of PVC, and it's just a hollow tube. That's all it is. I mean, it's just a hollow tube. I'm trying to see if you, there you go. You can see right there, it's just a hollow tube. But if you do it right, you can make sounds. Now this is, I don't practice this one. So on and so forth, etc. And so the key is that it just takes practice. And I worked a long time on trying to make sounds out of one of those hollow tubes. The Anasazi flute, also known as the basket weaver flute, and the rainmaker flutes. Coco Pelle is playing one of those. They found the cave of the broken flutes, which they weren't broken at all. They just didn't know how to play them. The story goes that the fellow who found them knew how to play them. I'm thinking, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. But you play them that way, and they're like ney. So if you look up a ney, either a Turkish ney, but the Arabic ney or the Egyptian ney, people have them, like this. And they're beautiful. Make beautiful sounds. It's taken me a lot of years to figure it all out, because I didn't have teachers and so on and so forth. And then eventually one day you go, oh, that's how you do it, but just keep at it and you'll get it. Don't give up. I don't give up on anything unless I get bored with it, and then I give up. But if I'm tenacious, and you can be tenacious too. So anyway, I asked the I Ching, is this going to work out? So the first thing I got was the army. The seventh hexagram, I thought, the army? Well, that's a weird one. I don't, what's with the army? And the army, the image of the army is the earth and water under the ground. And I thought, well, wait a minute. And I've always equated that particular hexagram with the army of terracotta soldiers that were hidden underground, right? And I thought, oh, wait a minute, that makes perfect sense, because they were hidden underground, and when they discovered them, they were in terrible condition. They were, their pads were dry, and, they were tarnished, like my clarinet. And I thought, okay, I'm kidding about the pads. But the paint had chipped, and, I mean, they were underground for thousands of years and neglected. They were hidden, and that's kind of what I'm talking about. I thought, oh, that's fascinating. So then I said, okay, any moving lines? So I started with the moving lines with the first one, and the first one turned it into one called approach. I thought, that's fascinating too. So it was saying to me, approach it. Take it on. Oh, okay, well, that makes a perfect sense. I'll do that. And then the next one was return. And I thought, okay, it's saying return to it. And so there were no other moving lines until I got to the fourth one, and that was turn it into the 51st hexagram, which is double thunder, boom, boom, right? Thunder. And that's the arousing one. That's Jen, you know, which is thunder, boom, the sort of surprising. And I thought double thunder, well, that's a lot of noise. So I guess it was saying, yeah, you'll get back to it and you'll be making an incredible amount of racket. And I thought, good, that's kind of what I want. I'm not interested in playing in a quartet or even necessarily doing duets with my friend, although that would certainly be fun, but it would take a lot of work to get back to reading music and all that. I'd probably be 87, 88, 89, 90, 112. But, you know, the point is I want to have fun doing it. And so, boom, boom, you know, making horrible sounds. But so what? It's about the enjoyment of it. It's about the fun of it. And I love that. So I think the I Ching was saying, if you just approach it, and by the way, the moving line in the army said, organization is absolutely vital. Don't even begin this unless you are organized. And I thought, well, that makes absolutely perfect sense. You don't start to take a clarinet apart unless you're organized. And I've been doing that, but even before I hit the I Ching, I thought, okay, if you're going to do this, you got to do it right. You know, you have to oil it, and you have to know what you're doing. I've been looking at YouTube videos about how to do this and what's involved, and it's complicated, but it's also fun. And I say, if it's not fun, don't do it. I really believe in that. And that includes what we're going to talk. And that is a form of this contemplative system. It's about really getting in and contemplating things. You see, the contemplative mind. I stumbled upon this decades ago because I like to go out and just think. I like to think. I like to just kind of sit back and just think, you know? Just kind of let the mind do what the mind does. And that is just wander. Now, my Four of Cups, luxury. I happened upon a Facebook thing. It happened upon me. It was a site dedicated to Tarot, and they were talking about the Arthur Edward Waite deck, which, more power to you if that's the deck that you read, but it's not one that I read and have never read. I have a deck. I actually opened it on the air once. I had it for decades and had never opened it, but I went ahead and opened it and thought, oh, okay. I mean, I have the book, Arthur Edward Waite's book on Tarot, and I noticed that the people, they were talking about the Five of Discs. And the Five of Discs, they were talking about it being a representation of poverty. And I realized that someone had written a description of the card. And they were talking about it being poverty and why it's poverty and so on and so forth. And it's not. It's worry. The Five of Discs is known as the Lord of Worry. And it's ruled by Mercury and Taurus. And the word worry comes from the old English term to worry an animal to death. And to worry an animal means to strangle it, you see. Because when an animal gets upon another animal and they want to, or a human at times, they get up here, and why waste a lot of energy? They get up here, and every time you breathe out or scream or something, they just clamp down a little bit tighter around the throat. So when you go, bah, they, a little bit more. That is worrying something to death. Literally, that's where it comes from. And so that strangulation is really what that card is about. It's about panic. That's what the card is about. It's about panic. It's not about poverty. And because poverty is something that occurs over a period of time, if you think about it. So this is how this process works. You contemplate something. And I made a few comments in there, and no one has said anything back. I expected immediately to be jumped upon like harpies upon Phineas's meal, you know. The Argonauts, you look that up. But no one has said a word. And I'm guessing it's because they don't know that much about the inner workings of Tarot. I guess. I said that, you know, Mercury in Taurus is what rules this card, and someone had said something that all fives are ruled by strife, and I thought, no, that's not correct. Strife is the Five of Wands. All fives are ruled by Mars, essentially, on the Tree of Life. And so, you know, there are a lot of people who like to say they know things, and maybe they don't always know as much as they say they know, and that's fine. That's called life. That's called people. But the thing is that when you have, the more knowledge you have, the more you can contemplate these things. Now, my Four of Cups shows poverty. My Four of Cups shows a very wealthy man and a very wealthy woman, and they're being hit on by beggars. You can see one of them there, and then you have these four cups, begging cups, you see. You can see the four cups there, the dirty hands, and they're going, no, you know, please, 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 you know, please, please, please. And they're like, ugh, no, luxury. Now, I didn't come to this right away. The card is ruled by the moon in Cancer. The moon is in her own home. Now, you know that the house of the moon is luxurious, right? I mean, it's not as nice as the Oval Office is now, with gold everywhere. And, you know, I'm sure there's things like French fries and Diet Cokes and things. I mean, it's got to be just as lush and posh as one can imagine, you know? Just can't imagine, you know? Ding! Hit me with a Coke, you know, that sort of thing. Oh, thank you, Anne, very much. Yeah, the Five of Discs is, you know, anyway, so what we have here is the Five of Cups, and I mentioned that the Five of Discs, which is financial worry, has its beginning in this card, the Four of Cups, which is true, because luxury, now when I got to thinking about it, contemplating it, and this is what contemplative tarot is, I thought about the concept of luxury. And in Crowley's deck, you have four cups, and there are flowers, and the flowers are feeding these four cups, but the liquid or the energy from the cups don't go anywhere. They just suck it all back into themselves. So there's an abundance, but the abundance is all brought back into itself. It doesn't share it with anyone. And I got to thinking, and what I did is I just started thinking about the concept of luxury. I don't know if you know who the Aga Khan was. He was the head of the Ottoman Empire back in the early 1900s. There was always an Aga Khan. I mean, they were like the rulers of the Ottoman Empire. And he used to have himself weighed against gold. And every year he would have himself weighed against gold, and that was the tribute to him. And my father told me that, and I thought that was obscene. Now, my dad, in the 40s, I guess it was the early 40s, I guess she was married, Rita Hayworth, was married to Aga Ali Khan, who was the son of the Aga Khan. And my dad ran into her in the Cairo railroad station, and he recognized her. you know, big movie star, but he was a big movie star fan. He loved American films, and he recognized her, and he walked up to her and said, "Miss Haywood, can I have your autograph?" And she was so thrilled to be recognized, and he was a handsome devil, my dad. He wasn't a devil. He was a saint. He was an angel. That she gave him an autograph and kissed him on the cheek, which was just remarkable, you know. And she was all grins and smiles and asked him his name and what are you and what are you doing? He was a student and, you know, getting his degrees and, you know, valedictorian of everything he did. Thank you, Dad. Thank you so much, Father. That was nothing to live up to, was it? So this is my 10 of discs. Wealth. Wealth. And there you can see a very wealthy man being weighed against 10 golden discs. Yes? Yes. You see, that to me is what wealth is. And you can see there are some people there, not a lot. I didn't want to draw a lot of people. I didn't want to draw away from what's happening. And they're not happy. There's a very old and decrepit woman and a child in poverty and a young man in poverty with his fist clenched and his Jacobean hat. The Jacobean hat I chose quite consciously. Because the Jacobeans were responsible for revolution. Eventually, sic semper tyrannis. Thus it is to all tyrants. Every one of the cards that I have created in my deck were a result of contemplative tarot, thinking about the card and the concept behind the card. I am learning, Pamela says. I am listening. Thank you. That's very nice to hear. I have spent a long time thinking about every word that a card is named by and what rules the card and why it's called what it's called. And I think that there is great value in this. So in the case of luxury, something is luxurious. I thought about what is luxury? How is it that I live? My father came to this country because he did not want to raise his children in a dictatorship, in a military dictatorship. He wanted to raise his kids in a country where they could be anything they wanted. Do you think I could be doing this? What I have been doing for the majority of my life in the old country? I don't think so. I maybe would have ended up in a university, maybe, doing Egyptology, perchance. I think I would have enjoyed that, but it would have been different than what I'm doing. I love what I do. But I don't think that I would have been this guy with this beard. Maybe now so. Maybe not this big. Who knows? I don't know. But he knew, and from a very early age, my parents, at least my dad, knew that there was something weird about me, different. But they would not have had the luxury of raising me. And my mother very specifically wanted me to be a specific thing, a doctor. And that didn't work out. She was never pleased with me in that way. She loved me. I loved her very much. But we fought all the time, you know, because I knew who I was from a very young age. I wasn't searching for myself. I was finding a way to be myself in this culture, in this society. I was born into the hippie generation at the right time. And thank goodness for that. We are all born at the right time, I think. It's just we have to fight to be who we are sometimes. But I was contemplating this concept of luxury. And it occurred to me, how can there be in the richest country on earth, for a while longer maybe, how could there be luxury when there are children starving in my neighborhood? Or hungry, at least. How can there be luxury when there are places of abject poverty? Abject poverty in our towns. Okay? Lisa says, I bought a homeless man outside a coffee shop food I got for him before. He told me he was good on food and drink. I was a bit taken aback and told him I hope he has a good day. I had breakfast for me. Oh, maybe there's more there. No, that's probably it. Let me see if I can scroll. No. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? It is a fascinating thing. But I came to the conclusion that it is an unfair system. A remarkably unfair system. This was my contemplation, and I contemplated this over a period of about 5 days, thinking about one thing and one thing alone, and that is luxury. That there are times when luxury is wonderful. Like if you're on a vacation. God, I haven't had a vacation since 99. That's okay. Don't need them. I'm a lazy sot. I don't drink, but I'm a lazy feller. But they don't come. But the point is that when you think about these things and delve into them, something that is luxurious to me, frankly, is a good fountain pen. Okay? Here's a good fountain pen. It's a retractable fountain pen. Here's a retractable fountain pen that I happen to like very much. It could use a better converter, Pilot, with your retractable fountain pens, with your converter that only holds a little drop of ink, but work on that. Let's get a better converter in there. Anyway, that's the only gripe I have about it. I love them. There's one I want now. I still haven't gotten it. I may not get it, you know. The same way. Audra says I feel the same way about breeders. As long as there is one dog sitting in a cage in a shelter, I think breeders should be illegal. And I don't like you to use the word should and I. And I don't like you to use the word should and I. Go a little deeper with the words you should and I. I don't know. I believe in being responsible and holding myself responsible for my own life. If you know, I mean, I need to be self-aware. It's the only way I change. Are you talking about me? Oh, don't like a lot of laws, but really? Like what? You know, they'll never outlaw breeders. As long as we have the AKC and the Westminster Dog Show and so on and so forth, breeders actually, I believe in rescues as well. I do. We have a doodle. I love our doodle very much. At our age, you know, it was something we did. I don't know. I won't defend it. I won't. Just it's what happened. We love her. I don't like to use the word should, and I don't. Oh, I see what you're saying, Audra. A lot of laws. Well, true. Yeah. I don't like the fact that there are children who don't eat enough. I don't like the fact that in Flint, Michigan, there were children who will have permanent brain damage because of lead pipes. and people knew about it and did nothing about it. See? And you think about that, and you let it go. And so when a word finally makes sense to you, complete sense to you, absolute sense to you, and here's the other thing, I try and do it without passing judgment. Because judgment is very dangerous to me. To me. Maybe it's not to you. But I find that passing judgment is very dangerous. No, you're fine. You did. It cut me off. That's the YouTube bots, probably. You're fine, Otter. You're fine. I'm not easily... I can be touchy. I'm not going to say that. The reason I don't judge so easily is because I've been a professional reader for decades. And when you're sitting across from someone and you feel their life and they're telling you their truth, you understand. You know? You understand the pain and you get it. Other people judge very quickly. I've been judged through most of my life. I've been judged by the color of my skin. I've been judged through my last name. Recently, as a matter of fact. Recently. I've been judged because of this gray in my beard and the chronological age that I am. So I try not to judge. I judge because of actions, you know, what people do, and because of their biases. But luxury to me became an obscenity in my mind. When I knew, I believe people should relax and have fun. And there are some luxuries that I think are quite fine. But this type of activity is an obscenity to me. And those four cups of luxury to me, this is what this card means to me. These people turning away, you know, it's why I give as much as I can and never claim it on my taxes. I know that sounds stupid, but I don't. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you get it? It's a stupid thing, maybe, but I just, that's, by the way, Audra, thank you for talking to me in the chat room. It's fun. I have a conversation. All of you in the chat room who have discussed with me. Love it. This is what it's about. This is what it's for. Yeah. I love it. I love it. We are a community. We need to talk, I think. So a contemplative tarot is where you have looked at these cards and thought about them. Interference happened to me on the top. My interference card is you've got 8 chefs all with knives at a very small table. Too many cooks spoil the broth. Imagine these chefs. Eventually someone's going to cut someone else's finger off. It's unavoidable. And that's because it's more than just chop, 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 chop. It's egos. It's, you know, it happens. People eventually become numb to each other's needs and competitive and angry. And contemplative tarot, all you have to do is pick a word like prudence. Here's my prudence card. Yeah, I'm not the greatest artist in the world. But I chose the Cratchits from A Christmas Carol. And that's what I drew, were the 8 members of the Cratchit family, and drew them looking down at them at their meager Christmas dinner. A small goose, some potatoes, you know, some rolls, and there they are, enjoying it because they know, you see. Prudence. And I look up the entomology, the bugs of words. I look up the etymologies, you know. Audra says, I always tell them at Goodwill that I don't want a receipt when they ask. You know, yeah, I don't either. Give, just say no. You know, don't need a receipt. I look up the etymologies of a word to find out what that word really comes from. And that helps. And then I think about it. And I allow it to just go through my head. And I think about a card, you know? I think about what it means, like the Two of Swords. Peace. Peace. What sort of knife brings peace? What sort of sword? What type of cutting implement brings peace? And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it. Contemplative tarot. What sort of device brings peace of mind? It took me a long time. And it appeared to me, and I won't dig through there, but what I came to was the scissors of a bonsai tree, you know, that you use to snip a branch, because it's a peaceful act. It's something that's done contemplative. It's something that causes, you know, you think about it. Tarot and any type of divinatory, even just life, it will change you. If you do this going through a deck, if you do this, you know, and this deck of mine is the result of this sort of work. You know, it's what it's about. I thought, what is strength? Well, you notice that my strength card, the Nine of Wands, they're all musical instruments that you play. There's not a clarinet in there, I'll tell you that. These are all woodwind instruments that are blown. The one here on the far right is a fife out of a walking stick, one that Benjamin Franklin owned, that up until recently, if I had acted a little bit sooner and if I had had some money, I'd have bought one. They weren't that expensive, $180 I think they wanted for one, made out of rosewood, and now, of course, it would cost you $600 because that's our economy. But there's a ney, where is that? Yeah, there are a couple different types of neys at the top. One is a Turkish ney, and the one below it is an Arabic ney, and then there's a NAF, what's known as a Native American flute, a NAF. Below that is a pan flute. And below that is, on the very far left, is a didgeridoo. And below that is that a cana that I drew? Yeah, no, that's a shakuhachi. A shakuhachi and a double flute at the bottom, a Greek double flute. What's so strong about that? Well, music has the strength to change everything. And it takes willpower to learn an instrument and to play it. I was at frustration level when I was learning this thing, you know. And I've played, except for the pan flute, and I learned to play a fife years and years and years ago after I visited the East Coast. I got it in Maryland, as a matter of fact, yeah. Right after visiting the USS, the SS, was it the Constitution? The one that's in the harbor there in Maryland. Whatever. I saw the Orioles play at War Memorial Stadium. That was pretty cool. I saw Cal Ripken Jr. It takes strength. It takes strength of character. And there on the wall of a tomb is an ancient, and this is a facsimile thereof of what's on that tomb, is an ancient Egyptian playing a ney. It's that old. And it takes persistence and strength of something, stubbornness, strength of character. I don't know what it takes to actually play it. And you learn it and you do it. That's what it takes, you know? But that's contemplative. And when you finally get it, I like to let my mind just wander. It's not meditation. It's contemplating. And when you do that, you learn something about the cards, you learn something about the process, and you learn something about yourself, so that the next time you're reading and you get the card, you've got something that other people don't, because it's your work. It's your investigation into the cards. It's your doing. This is a very powerful, powerful technique, a very powerful way to learn more about your art. And it'll work with anything. It'll work with astrology if you want it to. You just have to do your own take on it. It's worked with me with the I Ching, you know. I mean, the I Ching was telling me, do this, man. Do, but make sure you're organized. First thing it said, if you're not organized, you'll make a mess of this. I took a typewriter apart when I was about 11, 12, maybe. My mom's typewriter. It was so easy to take apart. I bent a key. I tripped on it. Something happened. The doorbell rang. I'd been typing something up. And the doorbell rang, and I got up, and I tripped over the typewriter, and I bent a key. And I realized I was going to be in a huge amount of trouble. Now, she was no longer typing, but it was her typewriter. I asked her if I could use it. She said yes. I did not ask her if I could destroy it. But I took it apart, and I never could put it back together again. What would you say the reverse of my Eight of Pentacles or Discs would be? My Eight of Discs. Well, the Eight of Discs reverse would be a lack of gratitude. A lack of understanding what we have around us, imprudence, not doing the right thing, not being happy with what we've got. That's what I would say it would be, right? Right. Eight of Discs, yeah. A lack of understanding of the benefits of life. I wake up every day grateful. Grateful. Grateful that I am alive, because one day I may not wake up alive. I may wake up dead. So I am every day. Oh, Raven. Hi, Raven. You've got a 5-2 to the Bicentennial Tour of the East Coast back in 76. Yeah, I remember 76 very well. Very fondly, actually. On July 4th of 1976, very fondly. Never could master the instrument. I could make noise on it. It's so high-pitched. Probably it's why I wear hearing aids today. But it was, I never could master it, but I could play a few tunes. Of course, everyone plays Yankee Doodle. I could play Yankee Doodle and I could do that. It took forever to get those first notes, but it was black plastic, thick plastic, and it had a couple of tape on the ends for gold, you know, but I can't remember how much. I've got a bosun's whistle right over there hanging from the same place, but I lost the fife a long time ago. Probably lost it in the divorce. I don't imagine my ex-wife held on to it, because she didn't care about things like that. I'm holding out of the fife. Mo will miss this. No, she didn't care. I just lost it, you know. So, yeah. Same fife, huh? Yeah, same fife. I stick with things. I just, you know, I get frustrated. I had a fife from Egypt that I got when I was 18, but it cracked. Made out of reed, Arduino Dorax, I think it's Arduino Dorax reed, and it cracked before I learned how to play it. So I stupidly threw it away, because I don't usually throw things away, but I threw it away within the past two decades. Stupidly, I'm kidding. So stick with things. Do this. Try it. Just pick a card. Pick a card, any card. Yeah. And just take the word and just contemplate the word and sit and think about it, and then you can look up the Ace of Cups. That's my Ace of Cups. He's a beggar. You know, my Ace of Cups is different than others because of where it took me. Oh, yeah. I've got a recorder. I've got a couple of them. I love the recorder. My friend not only plays the clarinet, she plays the flute, and she plays recorders, and she's very... Oh, the four of discs. How did I come to this? The four of discs is power. How did I come to this? This contemplative thing about it being the four points that the pyramid stands upon. The four corners that the pyramid stands upon. How did I come to this? Okay, it's the sun in Capricorn. But think about this. See if you can come to... you don't have to come to the same conclusion I come to, but maybe you can kind of figure out where did I... And I realize I've been to the Great Pyramid. Oh, yes, I have. Nothing like it. I've got to say, nothing like it. And with that, I have to go. It is the end of my show. My time is done for this, not for everything, I hope, but at least for this. You get old and begin saying things like that. Yep, time for me to go. Oh, not forever, I hope. All right, till next week. I hope this has helped you to get some ideas on some things you can do. And I guarantee, I lived in Louisiana. I'm entitled. I think that you will enjoy it. Pamela says, I played flute and piccolo. My dog loved the piccolo. Oh, bad. Raven says, the black cube of Saturn is what I thought that was. Oh, interesting. Interesting. Now, see? That's one take on it. All right. Au revoir, my friends. Have a lovely week. I wish you peace, and I wish you love, and the best week that you can have. Till next week. Bye. And I mean it. Have a lovely week. Bye-bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.